Joel Hammond with the Chronicle Telegram is patiently standing by. Joel, how are you?
Andy, I'm doing great. How are you guys today?
We are lovely, and I want to get into a couple of articles that you've written for the Chronicle the last couple of days. Some very interesting perspectives. You were able to get the take of a few area coaches here in Lorain County, and you were able to take it one step further as well, getting the opinion of some coaches that have seen Cincinnati Moeller on more than one occasion so far this season as well about tomorrow night's state semifinal matchup between Cincinnati Moeller and the Lorain Titans. I want to begin with some of the information and the conversations that you had with some of the coaches from that Cincinnati area as well. What was your major takeaway from the conversations you had with those three coaches that have seen Cincinnati Moeller?
Well, you know, it's funny. When I did kind of the same exercise when Lorain was playing St. Ed's, a lot of it was, you know, I'm not sure that Lorain can beat St. Ed's. You know, they're deep and they're talented and they run 11 guys out and everybody plays and everybody makes a contribution. You know, talking with these Cincinnati coaches, you know, Moeller hasn't, you probably talked about it this week, they haven't lost a game by, or they haven't won a game by fewer than 10 points. You know, all their victories are 25-3 or whatever they are, and they, every one of their wins has been by double digits. They haven't lost to an Ohio team. And I didn't get the sense from these Cincinnati coaches that they thought that Moeller was unbeatable. You know, they have three really good players, and they've got a couple role guys that support them. But after that, you know, there's a drop-off. And so I you know, the Cincinnati coaches weren't terribly familiar with Lorain and their roster and what they've done this year, but I didn't get the sense that they thought that Moeller was unbeatable, you know, which I thought was a little, strange just because of the season they've had. And of course they went to the, you know, they were 1 point away from winning the state title last year, but I get the sense that, that Lorain, you know, has a shot, you know, and of course they have a shot and, they've proved doubters wrong before, but you know, they're going to be an underdog again. So we'll see how they react to that.
As you take a look at that Cincinnati Moeller team on paper, who do you think poses a bigger problem for Lorain? 6'10" Jackson Hayes, who's actually headed to Texas next year, or their swingman, Jeremiah Davenport, who's actually headed to Wright State?
Yeah, I think Davenport can score, and he can certainly fill it up. I think Lorain will have Devon Grant guard Davenport. I think Jackson Hayes presents a larger problem because it's two ways, right? They can do a number of different things with Hayes on offense. They can post him up, and he can just sort of float and wreak havoc on the offensive glass. On defense, from those Cincinnati coaches, I gathered from them that he has a bigger impact on defense. He blocks five shots a game, but he alters many more. And what they try to do is, you know, it's funny, Moeller doesn't score a ton of points. He scores 62 points a game, which is not, you know, outrageous for a team that has, you know, won 25 games. But, you know, they don't score a lot, but what they do is they get easy buckets in transition. And how that happens is Hayes cleans the glass and he blocks shots and quickly outlets to Isaiah Payton and some other guys. So I think he'll have a much bigger impact than Davenport will.
Joel, a lot of talk about what Lorain needs to do to beat Archbishop Moeller. There's a lot of talk about what they need to beat St. Ed's and a lot of what they need to do to beat St. John's. Why is it this Lorain team is giving teams such fits? I mean, they're the underdog, as you said, again, based on the fact they were against St. Ed's and St. John's. It seems like they have two guys they really run through in Tavon Pierre-Lewis and Devon Grant, maybe Jordan Jackson a little bit in there as well. But what is it about this Lorain team that's really using 7-8 guys that's giving these teams such big fits when they're so much deeper and all?
Yeah, it's a great question. You know, I actually, that was the premise of another story I wrote this week when, you know, this is by far, and this is no knock on this team, I wrote that this is no knock. It's even more of a reason why we should credit this team. This is by far the least talented and least deep of Lorain's last four teams, which is, of course, each won over 20 games and three of four have gone to the regional tournament at least. So it strikes me that it's crazy that with all the talent they've had over the last 3 years, this is finally the team that breaks through. And I think a lot of it has to do with Devon Grant being, you know, the best player on the floor. They've played a lot of Division I caliber players on their opponents, and Grant has outplayed all of them. And so when you talk to other coaches, and it's like, you know, you can scheme and do whatever you want and try to stop that person when they're playing like Grant is right now, it's hard to stop them. And so it'll be interesting to see. And this is what one of the Cincinnati coaches told me, Pat Getty from LaSalle, is how far Mueller goes to take Grant away. Do they trap Grant as soon as he gets into the front court? You know, do you trap him there and then don't let him get it back? So you trap him in the half court as soon as he gets in the half court. You deny him a return pass, and you play 4-on-3 against the other guys. And, I don't think we've seen a team go to that measure, but, I mean, at some point somebody's got to, because Grant has pretty much beaten St. Ed's and St. John down the stretch by himself. So it'll be interesting to see if they go to even more extreme measures to take Grant away than St. Ed's and St. John did.
Any talk about playing him physically? Because he said himself he likes the physical aspect of the game. Against Strongsville, he had a little bit of foul trouble. Has anyone brought that up?
Well, you know, in talking to LaSalle's coach Pat Getty, you know, they've got a guy named Riley Hobner, who was the leading scorer in the GCL, which is the league in which Mueller and LaSalle and St. X and Cincinnati L are playing. And they took Hobner. So Hobner scored 30 in the first meeting between LaSalle and Mueller. The second time comes around, and they took some of those measures against Hobner. Scored 13. He made 4 of 17 shots. He said they beat him up mentally and physically. So I am sure that they will attempt to do that with Grant a little bit too. If they don't, you know, if they don't go all the way as far as double teaming him, trapping him, I'm sure they'll try to beat him up a little bit too, to try to get him frustrated, take him off his game, and maybe, you know, get him into foul trouble too.
Again, we're talking with Joel Hammond of the Chronicle-Telegram about tomorrow's state semifinal matchup between the Lorain Titans and Cincinnati Mueller. And, you know, it's interesting. We were talking with Tim Alcorn at lunch earlier today about Jackson Hayes and all the things that he can do. Obviously, he is very imposing physically at 6'10" tall. But he's also a guy, Joel, that really struggles at the charity stripe. And while, you know, Lorain hasn't gone to their bench very often, I mean, you think that maybe they might go to the bench a little bit more to bring guys in, if for no other reason, to commit some fouls on Hayes to make sure they don't give him high-percentage looks and force him to earn opportunities at the stripe?
Yeah, he's a 50% free-throw shooter, and that's, again, when I was talking with some of the Cincinnati coaches, they mentioned that, you know, they didn't go to a purely hack-a-shack style again with him, but you know, I think you definitely got to make him earn him. So, and I wouldn't do it with Tavon Pierre-Lewis. I would do it with David Weatherington and Jordan Jackson maybe. And even, you know, you're not going to put Cameron Davis on him. But the problem is that, you know, Lorain, unless I just can't see Lorain putting some of those freshmen in. You know, they're down to 6 or 7, you know, upperclassmen. I just can't see them putting freshmen in, unless they get desperate late to waste fouls on Hayes. I think they'll try to play him straight up with David Weatherington, this is just speculation on my part. I did not ask John Rossitano about this, but my theory would be they put David Weatherington on him, try to play him as straight up as possible, give Weatherington help. I'm sure they'll play zone, and if he has a look, then you got to foul him and make him earn him. You know, you don't let him get a 3-point play, don't want to make the basket, but if he's got a look on the interior and you got him. You got to make him earn it. And maybe later, if you get desperate, you know, maybe you put some of those freshmen in to just waste some fouls on them if you're down or whatever. But, you know, I can't see Lorain with how well they've been playing, how, you know, they've stood up to every test. I can't see them, giving stuff away like that so easily.
Well, you had told Matt earlier some of the things you expect Cincinnati Mueller to try and do to slow Grant down a bit. Tim Alcorn, who is listening to this interview right now, just sent me a text saying that Grant averaged 29 points a game in the last 4 games, including games in the district tournament and the regional tournament as well. If he doesn't score 29 a game, do you think the Titans still have any chance at winning this thing tomorrow, or is he just going to have to go off the way he has in each of the last 4 contests?
No, I think they still have a shot to win it, because Jordan Jackson can score and Tavon Pierre-Lewis can score. Now, Pierre-Lewis is going to have a tough time against Hayes, who I'm sure they'll match up with. They'll have Hayes guard Pierre-Lewis. So, the dream scenario for Lorain would be to spread these guys out and play 5 out and get Hayes away from the basket. And maybe you put Jaden Sledge in earlier than you normally would to get another shooter. And you put Jordan Jackson and maybe, you know, maybe you put the ball in Cameron Davis's hands, so that way Grant's a shooter. So that way, you know, when Hayes collapses, you have Grant on the perimeter to shoot the ball too. You know, some of these Cincinnati coaches, told me that. I think this was a Springfield coach who lost. They lost to Mueller in the regional semi. You know, they were a driving team. They were not a good jump shooting team, and they played right into Hayes' trap, attacked the basket, and Hayes was there waiting for him every time. So here's what you got to do: you got to get into the paint and draw Hayes to you and find somebody driving or find somebody on the perimeter that can shoot it. And, you know, Lorraine doesn't have great shooters, so that's why I'm thinking maybe you try it with putting Grant on the perimeter and have somebody else that can get in the lane and then kick it to Grant. You know, you've got Sledge and Grant who are your best shooters, and that takes, you know, if Grant's going to handle the ball, which, look, I'm all for, and that's a pretty good strategy. You know, he's going to be the one that's getting into the paint, and you try to find Pierre Lewis cutting and Weatherington off the ball, and somehow you've got to find a way to get Hayes away from the basket if you want a chance to score at the rim.
Again, we're talking with Joel Heyman with the Chronicle-Telegram about tomorrow's state semifinal matchup. Again, we'll have it for you here on AM 930 WEOL. Tip time scheduled for 5:15 between the Lorraine Titans and Cincinnati Moeller. I want to get into one last thing. Well, I found it so fascinating how you were able to get perspectives from coaches up here and down there. And one of the quotes, or series of quotes rather, that really stood out to me came from Maple Heights head coach Eric Schmidt, who saw Lorraine play a couple times this year. And one of the things he said was Lorraine's past teams were so good because they knew they were good. They walked into the gym and said, cool, we're going to beat up on you, and everybody knows it. And then later on in your article, he mentions, look, this year's team didn't have the same confidence early in the season because they were trying to find their identity. Now they've been through a bunch of tough, close games, and they've developed that confidence. You can see it in the way they play. Now, you've seen them a few times this year, Joel. In what ways do you think they exude that confidence that maybe wasn't there earlier this season?
Yeah, I wanted to talk to Eric Schmidt, the Maple Heights coach, because he's seen Lorraine over the past 4 years. He's been there for a number of years. He's been frustrated, right, because they've really gotten their butts beat by Lorraine. Maple Heights finally beat Lorraine this year in the team's second meeting. Actually, that was the last loss, I think, in Lorraine's three-game losing streak that really kind of turned the season around. So he had great insight. He's a fellow Bowling Green grad, Andy. You'll be happy to hear that. So he had great insight about Lorraine. And you know, you just watch Lorraine, and they're not scared of anybody. Let's be honest. I mean, they probably should be, you know, but they're not. This team plays six or seven guys, and, you know, Cameron Davis, I know he hit a couple baskets in one of those regional games, but he doesn't score. And Weatherington is not skilled. You know, he's not terribly skilled offensively. He's a great player. You know, he's an energy guy. He does whatever you ask him to do. But, you know, so they're playing like four players that can score consistently, you know, and so they probably should be scared of some of these teams, but they're not. And it's great. I think it speaks to the city of Lorraine, the toughness and John and his staff and these players. I mean, and what John said, what John told me was like, these guys might not have had a ton of university experience at this point, but they've been around, you know, and that breeds confidence. And I know they had a tough stretch in midseason, and they weren't, you know, they've lost some guys, but you know, they walk in the gym now and they're ready to go. And it's funny that Eric said that, because I remember covering these teams. You know, I live on the east side, so I would always get the assignments when Lorraine would go to Orangeville Heights and Cleveland Heights and Shaw and Maple Heights. And you know, with these teams with Devon Andrews and Rashad Berry and Nas Bohannon, remember how, you know, energetic Nas Bohannon was? They walked in that gym and you knew that the other team had no shot. No shot. This year is a little bit different, but now you see this team kind of taking that same attitude.
Yeah, no question about that. And, of course, we're excited to see what they do tomorrow down at the Schottenstein Center in Columbus. Joel, a pleasure as always, my friend. We appreciate the time. The articles are absolutely fantastic. Not just saying that because you're kind enough to give us some of your time to discuss those, but I thought the perspectives that you presented from the coaches up here and down there, absolutely fantastic stuff. Always a great read, and we look forward to doing this again soon, my friend.
Anytime, guys. Thanks for having me.
Thank you again, Joel Heyman with the Chronicle-Telegram.